hello, and welcome to another episode of He Calls. I'm Riley, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today. I'm really excited about this podcast. I am talking with my friend Naomi. She's currently in Australia, so it's been quite the struggle trying to figure out a time that we can talk, because as soon as I'm going to bed, she is waking up. Crazy. I am currently in my PJs and she is up and perky, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready for the day, and I am about to fall asleep after a long day of chasing babies and toddlers and 10-year-olds around and trying to wrangle them. So forgive me if I sound a little bit tired, but you know, hashtag nanny life. But today we are talking about trust in the Lord, and who doesn't need a little bit of trust in their life, right? I certainly do. I am over here like, Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, wait, I'm just going to take that back because you're not covered by my insurance. So if we get into an accident, I'm going to have to pay for it. But it's okay, Jesus. You can sit in the passenger seat and you can watch me drive. Because that's what Jesus wants, right? Yeah. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, right? Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a constant struggle. And I think that I do not have a problem trusting the Lord with huge things. I am like, yeah, that's out of my control. I can't do that. So you're going to have to make that happen, Jesus. But when it comes to the day-to-day things, conquering the little battles, I think that I need to handle it by myself because Jesus is just too busy up there dealing with America and all the craziness that's going on here. And Jesus is probably dealing with a lot. He probably needs a lot of extra coffee these days. So I just think in the day-to-day battles, Lord, I've got this. You don't have to worry about me. I can handle this. But that's not what he wants from us. At least I don't think it is. I think that he wants us to trust him with every single thing that we encounter and every single thing that we deal with during our daily lives. So, of course, I turned to an expert because I cannot talk for an hour all about trusting the Lord when I am still learning how to do it myself. So instead, I turned to Naomi, my beautiful, wonderful Australian friend, and said, hey, girl, can you help me out and just give me your testimony about trusting in the Lord, because she has quite the story. She used to be an engineer and she quit her job and became a missionary. What? I know, she should write a book about her life. She became a missionary and then ended up in America by herself, no family. She has a lot of friends in America because of her time on Net, but in Lexington, she knew two people. That's pretty much it. Can you imagine the Lord telling you, hey, I'm gonna let you come to America, but you're gonna have to come by yourself? I would be like, no. One, where am I gonna live? Second, where's my job? Third, who's gonna be my friend? Also, it's the longest flight ever to get home. Super expensive. I don't think I could have handled it. I really don't. So that's why I'm talking to her all about trust, hoping that she can give some helpful tips and hints, tricks of the trade to grow in trust. Because this year, my word of the year is trust. Ironically, it is trust. Do you pick a word of the year? I know a lot of people do, and I just started doing it, so I'm interested to hear what your word of the year is. Mine, like I said, is trust, and I am kind of nervous about it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know how well it's gonna go. And honestly, I got the idea of doing a word for the year from some of the lovely ladies over at Blessed Is She. Love their ministry. I don't actually know any of them personally, but their ministry is cool. And some of the ladies were talking about words of the year. So I thought, that's a great idea because I suck at resolutions. I've already broken my resolution multiple times. Yeah, I was supposed to go work out at the gym 3 times a week. I know, typical resolution, and I failed. There's a few people that don't fail at that, but yes, I failed my resolution. So my word of the year is trust, and I need all the helpful hints that I can get on how to better trust in not only myself and the Lord, but other people. So we'll see how that goes. I guess I can do an update at the end of the year, a little Transformation Tuesday, Transformation Trust Tuesday. Ooh, yeah. Alliteration at its finest. And we'll see how that goes. So if any of you are picking a word of the year, let me know. Just find me on Facebook. My page is He Calls, and you can just leave a comment and let me know if you are also trying to grow in trust this year, or if you're not, what else you're doing this year to help yourself grow spiritually, mentally, physically, all of the above, emotionally, whatever it is. Who doesn't need growth? I guess, yeah, there isn't anyone that doesn't need growth. So I'm really excited to talk to Naomi, chat with her, ask her my questions, hopefully get some useful tips, practical ways that I can grow in trust. I'm not gonna lie to you, this week was a huge week of struggling with trust. I was just struggling majorly. Yeah, I'm a nanny for a family of 5, and man, do they take it out of me sometimes. Yeah, it can be rough. Especially because, you know, if one kid has an emotional breakdown, then everyone does, right? Of course, that's the perfect time, is when the 3-year-old is having a meltdown. Why wouldn't you start to have a breakdown then, when the baby's crying and the 3-year-old's crying? So I'm trying my hardest to keep it together. And then I just had to breathe. Just breathe it all out. Take a minute. And then I was like, Jesus, you're just going to have to take this. And why I didn't give it to him in the first place, I have no idea. But I just was like, dude, like, I cannot handle this right now. You're going to have to take over. The baby is screaming and cannot be consoled. No matter what I give him, or if I hold him or set him down, there was no stopping the kid from throwing himself on the ground. And the 3-year-old is screaming over baby toys, which, you know, didn't really make sense to me. And then we're having meltdowns about gymnastics uniforms. So, yeah, I just handed it to Jesus. And you'll never guess what happened after I just gave it to Jesus. Their dad came home so I could leave. So thank you Jesus for allowing me to have that moment of trust and then answering my prayer right away, because it really makes me want to trust in you more. Yeah, it was pretty great to have my prayer answered that quickly. Not necessarily in the way I thought that he would answer it, because I thought he was just going to make them all stop crying. But their dad walked in. So I went home and I sat on my couch in the silence and just sat there for a few minutes and enjoyed it. Enjoyed the silence. Yeah. So shout out to the kids I nanny. Yeah. Hey, Amy, what's going on? But yeah, so I just really... I need some practical pointers, because it is about to be a rough year of me learning how to trust in the Lord. I need books, I need YouTube videos, every resource that I could possibly find on learning to trust. And somehow I don't think that that's going to help. I think I'm just going to have to learn how to do it myself and, you know, hands-on experience, and take those times that the Lord is allowing me to grow, even though I'd much rather just read about it and think that I've grown. So we'll see how this goes. But I am getting on the line with Naomi. So excited to talk to her. And you won't have to listen to me drone on and on for an hour. But I am going to keep you in suspense for a few minutes. I know. Going to keep you in suspense. Going to make you wait to listen to Naomi's awesome Australian accent. Because we had to take a quick break. So, sorry again, but stick around. Please stick around so you can hear her cool Australian accent in just a few short minutes, I promise. And we will be right back after this break.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
I'm talking to the future right now. Super cool. I'm just kidding. I'm just talking to my friend Naomi from Australia. What up? We actually met while she was in the U.S. Doing youth ministry. And now she's back in Australia waiting to see if she can come back to the USA. So, Naomi, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, yeah, sure. I am Australian, obviously. I'm from a smallish town called Rockhampton. It's on the central part of Queensland in Australia. Grew up there and most of my family came from that area and stuff. And yeah, I've been all sorts of different places in Queensland because we moved around a little tiny bit. I have a civil engineering degree. Quit that a few years ago to do youth ministry called Net Ministries in Australia. And since then I've been doing other things. And yeah, I just recently did youth ministry in America, Lexington, Kentucky. That's where I met Riley and all her friends, and yeah, it's been really good. And at the moment I'm back in Australia. I've got a wedding to go to in a week.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you came to Net, or how you even came to America? Because that's a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, I discerned Net in 2012, only because the housemate at the time worked for NetStar, and she really encouraged me. But I actually had discerned it 5 years previously. And basically, I really didn't feel called at the time to do it. Like, I actually had anxiety about it, which was really interesting. And then when I actually did discern it in 2012, I really... like, there was just so many different things that God did. And I mean, literally so many different things that he did. I asked for him to, like, that really pointed towards doing Net Ministries. And it was an incredible year. I had, at that point, when I was discerning it, I was really just restless in my job doing civil engineering. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was a challenge and stuff for me. Provided really good opportunities. I was doing asset management at the time, but I really just didn't feel like I was doing anything to help anyone. Sure, I was making a lot of money, as you do in those sorts of fields, but I just didn't feel like I was doing the right things. So I decided to do Net eventually, like when it was all just, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. Biggest, most challenging year of my life. So crazy. Lots of challenges, lots of growing. Did a lot of growing. God did some more healing. He'd been doing a bit of healing in my heart for about 2 years prior to that. So there was a lot of transformation in that year. And then when I finished it, I actually did nothing for about 6 months. Basically, I just prayed a lot. I was very emotionally exhausted and tired and all that sort of thing. And then I started volunteering for a few different causes. And then was working for a ministry part-time for a year. And And then I actually came to America for a couple of months. A lot of things were happening in 2015 that were really like, crazy. Don't know what is happening. My good friend who I lived with in 2014, she was getting married in in America. And so I was like, I'm going to come to the wedding. And so I planned the whole trip, decided I was going to go for longer than a month. And then she had to get married in Malaysia because her husband was Malaysian. So I didn't end up going to her wedding, but I did go and visit. And what's amazing is actually I was part of a charismatic community in Brisbane called Emmanuel Community. And they have prayer ministry after mass and stuff. And what happened was I actually, a week prior to actually leaving for the States on my vacation, as you guys call it.
Holidays here.
Yeah. I went up for some prayer ministry, and one of the things that the lady who was praying for me, she said, you've got to come home. And I'm like, why wouldn't I come home? I've got like all these things I'm doing. And like, I was actually going to be going to Uganda in January of 2016 and with a few people from that community. And I was like, why wouldn't I? And she's just like, I had a vision of you calling America home when you were over there. And that was really profound. I'm like, okay, that's just really weird. But I'm not close to it. Like, I'm like, as if I'm not going to come home anyway. But I think that actually helped me be open to whatever God might be calling me to while I was there. And then when I was traveling with my brother for the first month and then by myself the second month. But when we were traveling the first week or so, I was like to my brother, I'm like, this place is great. Like, America, like, it's
America's
so weird,
awesome.
We were like, I think we were in San Francisco at the time. San Francisco was beautiful, and I was like, I could live here. And we joked around a bit, like, we could live here.
And then so God funny. Was like, joke's on you.
Well, like, then I saw a message that come from Beck Whitney, the youth minister of Christ King, who
yes,
I already knew. Yes,
Becca.
Yeah. And they were looking for someone, and she had put it out on the Facebook page, Net Alumni. And I saw it while I was traveling, and I commented on it. And really very coincidental, you know. And so I basically just, to keep a long story very short, I discerned it, prayed about it while I was traveling. Yeah, just really journeyed with that for a while, for a few weeks. Now, at one point when I was praying, because the application sort of talked about discipleship, and I'm like, what's discipleship? I was writing down a whole heap of things about what discipleship is, everything that I've learned over the years, like healing and community and ministry, like mission. Prayer, obviously, and sacraments and stuff. But there was one time when I was praying, and I was faced with like, okay, so I've got three goods here. I could stay at home and do what I've been doing. I could come over and do youth ministry at Pax Christi, or I could like put it out there, like let's see maybe Sisters of Life or something, because I was going to go visit them in New York, just see what they were like, and because I was helping with a pregnancy crisis place in Australia.
Oh, Sisters for Life, I love them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Oh my gosh, they're so beautiful.
I know. All of them, I'm like, yeah. Oh, I want to be your best friend.
So, yeah, I just did that, and I was like, I just didn't feel like Sisters of Life or staying at home was the right thing to do. So I decided, okay, I'll watch, see about this whole youth ministry, and I actually ended up visiting Lexington and having an interview and stuff with them while I was in Pittsburgh visiting my friend. Basically, I felt good about it. Like, I knew it would be difficult. For some reason, I just, while I was there, I was just like, yeah, this is such a tough year. There was an excitement and a peace to it as well, which was really incredible.
Naomi, hate to cut you off mid-thought, but we got to take a real quick break, and we will be right back after this.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
So sorry to have cut you off there, Naomi, but you were talking to us a little bit about how you were going to adoration at Steubenville. So do you want to just start where you left off before we took that break?
So yeah, and then the next day after coming back from the interview and stuff, me and my friend went to Steubenville, yeah, which is close to obviously Pittsburgh, and went to adoration there. And I just remember sitting down and Jesus was like sitting with me, and he just basically said, I invite you to come. And it was actually really a profound experience for me, because I had never actually experienced God, Jesus or God actually inviting me to something. I always felt like he was like telling me what to do and stuff, like with Net Ministries. It was an invitation looking back now, but it was more of a, this is what you need. I was like, yes, I will do this. So yeah, it happened eventually. It all worked out. So.
And then I met you.
Yeah, and then you met me.
I know. I was so excited to meet you. Like, you're Becca's cool Australian friend. I was super pumped. She talked about you for months. She was like, my friend is coming from Australia. But I really wanted to talk to you because I love that story of you just completely trusting in the Lord. That's a really big deal, you know? It's not something that is like, oh yeah, Jesus told me that I should walk my dog today. And then I went, and you moved across the oceans to come and follow him. So how would you tell other people that are trying to find that relationship of trust with the Lord and giving him your courageous yes? What kind of advice would you give them?
Pray a lot. Look, it's a journey, Riley. I can tell you that trust is certainly something we need to learn. I had to learn to trust God in a lot of ways a few years ago now, quite a few years ago. And it's only, I think, because of the healing he's done in the last 6 or so years that I've been able to really just enter deeply, I guess you could say deeply. That's a word. Deeper. It's not a word.
Deeply.
More deep.
We can add it to the dictionary. That's fine.
I make words up. It's all good. That I actually was like able to get to a bit more of a level of trust, I think. I also think that like stages of maturity really help. Like when I was 21, I could have had the opportunity of living overseas doing engineering for 6 months, but instead I decided that I wasn't mature enough at the time. It was a bit of a scary thought, thinking like living overseas by myself for 6 months and stuff. This time, not so much. Like, obviously, you go through a lot as you get older and you have more experiences and stuff. And you get to know, like, if you're on a journey, you get to know God and get to know how much he is actually wanting to provide for us and to be there for us and all that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I basically was just like, yeah, you know what? It feels right. I've got a lot of peace about it. And that's another thing, like really discernment, it's all about getting to know God, his will for you. Sometimes there's a lot of peace surrounding that.
So hard to explain it to people, you know, that feeling of peace when you feel that the Lord is telling you to do something or telling you not to do something. For me, a lot of times it's him telling me not to do stuff.
Do something, yeah. But we're doing that, like I think a lot of prayer. I love adoration. It's something that I really enjoy doing or going to. He's done a lot. And for just after Net, until I actually had discernment to go to America, a lot of my prayers were just, okay, what's the next step, God? Like, what do you want me to actually do? Because at the time, I was just it was kind of being in like a limbo space. It was, I don't want you to go anywhere yet. Like, you just be where you are.
Planted
where you are, do what you need to do. Like, it wasn't like any of my actions were bad. Like, I was trying to do good things. So a lot of good stuff and learning patience.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's the worst virtue to grow in is patience. I'm like always like, Lord, please give me patience. And then he's like, here, I'm giving you all these tests. Like, I'm letting you learn patience. And I'm like, oh, never mind. I regret.
It was funny. I asked him for that when I was 18. Oh, I've been learning ever since.
Yeah, I think that's a virtue that you never, ever fully achieve.
Oh, look, I think it's just we always learning it, all the virtues in one way or another. But yeah,
I think a lot of times we're constantly looking for the Lord to give us the next step and constantly wanting to move forward in our faith and, you know, in whatever else it is, like in our work or in our, you know, relationships and stuff. And I know I struggle with that a lot because I'm always like, okay, Lord, so like, what do you want me to do now? And he's like, I just want you to be still and be patient and love and enjoy life where you're sitting right now and not feel like you need to be, you know, taking the next step and taking the next step and taking the next step with everything.
It's because I think that is mainly because He's so present and he wants us to be present and to experience his presence and to get to know him as he is in presence. So like being okay with where you're at and what state of or stage you're in really helps that. Like before I actually came home, I had a conversation with a friend in America. And she used to say, look, just cherish the time with your family. Like just spend time, be soak it up basically, and be there, like, because yeah, sure, you don't know what's going to actually happen yet, but this is a precious time for you, and just yeah, be there. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Sure. But
well, and like worrying in the time that you have with your family, if you spend the whole time, you know, anxious and thinking about what's going to happen in the future, you can't control what's going to happen in the future anyway. So
yeah,
why not just enjoy that quality time that you have with them and then worry about whatever is going to happen next when it happens.
Yeah. Well, can I share something from prayer this morning?
Go for it.
So I was like, really, I was reading from the Divine Intimacy thing, and I was like, and then I was just feeling really distracted and overwhelmed. So I'm like, just writing a letter to the Father about everything that was going on in my head and stuff. And then he was just like, you are covered in my mantle of grace, my love. My peace is with you, in you, I hope in you. You are beautiful and growing in holiness. I'm leading and guiding you. Do not be afraid. Yes, all of it seems messy right now, with family and so many unknowns for you, but I can see clearly and I know that I know what I'm doing. Remember the song and booking the flights, which is a really interesting story. I will prompt you. I will let you know when you need to do something. Trust is your theme. Trust in my love, my unconditional love for you, because I do it. And then he led me to Isaiah 64 verses 1 and 3. And it's all about him coming down. Like it says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. When you did terrible things which we looked not for, you came down, the mountains quaked at my presence. So he's going to move mountains for us when the time is right. Like, just, yeah, anyway, it's really profound. I'm like, okay, God.
That is
like,
so beautiful.
And then I get, like, this email from the consulate finally saying, you don't have to come for a visa interview. You can just send it in. I'm like,
oh,
like,
that's like, so awesome.
Yeah. Because I had emailed them. I'm like, do you guys have my 10 fingerprints or not? So, yeah.
That is so it's beautiful. So I know. I love that.
Yeah.
What a great thing to reveal to you just in morning prayer, you know, any other Monday. No.
Actually, it's Tuesday morning here, but okay.
Right, I forgot. You guys are so far ahead of us. That's why I'm talking so to the future.
I but the whole thing he said, remember the song and the song and the flights you booked. So a few weeks ago when I was trying to figure out flights home and stuff, I remember waking up. No, it was after prayer, actually. It was Thursday morning, I think, and I'd been looking at flights almost every day all week. and the song I Still Call Australia Home came into my head, and I was like listening to it and stuff, and I just realized that I was meant to book my flight home that day, and so I did. I was just like, okay, just, yeah. So he knows what you need to do stuff, and if we're really open to him, and sometimes it's hard because there's still areas in our lives that we need to give to him and allow him to like move us or whatever, or we're still like anxious or whatever about something, he won't necessarily do anything unless we ask him to, if that all makes sense. But yeah, just being open and like learning that he will actually lead us and guide us and show us what to do next when it's time. It's actually a huge step in trust and faith and stuff, I think. I keep thinking it can be very, very painful at times, very, very difficult at times, especially trusting, especially if we've grown up where trust was not something that we were used to or knew how to do. But with his help, we can learn to trust and learn to love and learn to enjoy life where we're at. Yes, there will be struggles, there will be trials, there will be suffering. And our attitude has a lot to do with what happens to us and where we go and where we're headed. I've just been learning about being more positive and that we don't have to worry or fear. But we do have authority in him too. So it's really just a journey of faith and trust and learning and love. I encourage everybody to just delve into that.
I love that. I love when you said that the cry of the Father's heart is to know us and for us to know him. That's so beautiful. Well, thank you, Naomi, for sharing your story. Thanks for being my first little guest on the podcast. Super exciting historical moment here. We will be right back with the podcast after this short break.
You're listening to a Breadbox Media podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
So glad that I was able to call Naomi all the way in Australia and talk to her all about trust. And what really stuck out to me was when she said, the cry of the Father's heart is to love us and for us to love him and to know his love for us. Wow. I am going to write that down and put it on my prayer wall because that was beautiful. She could be a speaker or write a book or something. I think that someone needs to give her a book deal for all of us to learn from her wisdom. So I said earlier in this podcast that I am a person who needs practical ways to trust. I need someone to give me a to-do list. I need them to tell me, Riley, this is what you need to do to trust in the Lord, and this is how you are going to grow in it this year, with trust as your word of the year. Okay, so I came up with my own list because there is no list of practical things. But this is what I am going to do so I can better grow in trust in this next year. In 2017, hopefully I can grow. So I think that one thing that I'm going to do is replacing all of those negative thoughts that I'm thinking when I feel out of control with positive ones. And instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to handle this myself, or I need to get control of this situation, or Lord, you're not answering my prayers fast enough, I'm just going to turn those thoughts around and start being more grateful and thinking, Lord, you have answered all of my prayers. And even if they aren't in the same timeline that I want them to be, because they never are in the same timeline that I have in mind, I'm going to surrender that to you, and you just take it. And while I might still be anxious and wondering when the Lord's going to answer my prayers, sitting there looking at my watch like, okay, it's been 5 minutes now, I'm just going to sit in that moment of feeling anxious and feeling uncomfortable and wanting those prayers to be answered, and just breathe in the Lord's grace. And maybe say a rosary or something during that time. And I think another good way to turn around those negative thoughts is to fill your mind with scripture. So Catholics, we do not have the Bible memorized, right? We listen to the Bible every time we go to Mass. We've probably read the whole thing, right? Or listened to it at least. But we don't know verses by memory. And I am guilty of that. Me, right here, do not know Bible verses at all. But what a great way to combat those negative thoughts by consuming your mind with scripture and trying to memorize it. So just memorizing Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. So just start out memorizing that. I'm gonna stick a piece of paper in my wallet and write the scripture verse down, put it on the background of my phone, so I can just constantly be reminding myself of that. So when I start to feel, Lord, I'm not trusting in you right now, I can just remind myself of the verse. Like, okay, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And just go through it in my mind. I think for me, that'll really help. Hopefully that helps you. And you know what song just kind of popped in my head as I'm talking? The song, When Did I Forget You've Always Been the King of the World. I don't know if that's actually the name of the song, but it's by Natalie Grant. They play it on K-Love. Oh, it's called King of the World by Natalie Grant. Listen to this verse that just popped into my head. Just a whisper of your voice can tame the seas. So who am I to take the lead? Still I run ahead and think I'm strong enough when you're the one who made me from the dust. When did I forget you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life right back out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget you've always been the king of the world? I'm sure that I said on my first podcast that the Lord really speaks to me through songs. That's usually how he communicates with me, whether it's a song that pops into my head while I'm sitting in adoration, or it's a song that's played on the radio or whatever. He usually speaks to me through songs. And what a great song to have pop in my head right now when we're talking about trust. I mean, I try to take life right back out of the hands of the king of the world. That makes it sound so ridiculous that we struggle with trust. That's ridiculous because he has created the universe. He created us. He had our whole lives. He knew what was going to happen in our entire life before he even created us. And yet, I'm still down here like, I'm just gonna take that right back because I think that I have better control. When he literally sees the outcome of every single thing that we could ever do or say. So why wouldn't we trust him with our entire lives? Yeah, that just seems really, my struggle with trust just kind of seems absurd right now. And I know in an hour or two, something will happen and I'm going to be like, but maybe I need to write that song down. Not only having the Bible verse written around everywhere, Bible verses about trust, but also having that song written down, because then I can think, wow, Riley, that's obnoxious. You need to just trust him. And just asking the Lord, you know, what else can you do except bug your dad? Hey there, buddy. Yeah, I know you're busy up there, but you wanna give me some patience and trust down here? And I regret every time that I ask, because then he's like, huh, you want trust? I'm going to help you learn in that. And like I said earlier to Naomi, and then I'm like, I'm just kidding. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be tested. I'm pretty lazy. I just want him to fix all my problems. I don't really want to do any of the work. So maybe asking him that he can get me energized and motivated to, you know, take those tests and pass those tests in patience and trust. But are there any other ways that you grow in trust in the Lord? And practical ways, because my spiritual director, I go to him and I say, hey, Father, you're going to have to give me a to-do list, because I get way too much satisfaction off of checking those lists and crossing them out. I love lists, so I need a list. And my spiritual director is a great and holy man. He is awesome. He's from Malaysia. But he's not really a to-do list man. He's not very, I guess he's not a man that needs tangible stuff. Stuff that he can see and feel and all that. He is very spiritual, which is great, because I need that. I need a man who, spiritual director, that is spiritual and can help me with all the spiritual battles and all that stuff and answer all of my thousands of questions. But I also sometimes just need a list of things I can look at in the morning and go, okay, Riley, this is what you're going to do today to grow in trust. And yeah, so I'm going to need that this year, because my word of the year is trust. So I'm hoping to grow in trust in the Lord and grow in trust of all of the people around me and trust in myself. So how do I start doing that? Because that's not even a tangible, you know, it's not a thing that you can, I guess, yeah, say, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this and this today, and then I will have grown in trust. So I need a workout plan. I need to be able to exercise my trust. So if any of you have a good practical workout training, you know, program or books or anything, please find me on Facebook. He Calls. There's a picture. The picture is the same one as the podcast picture when you're listening to it on your phone, the same little picture that'll pop up. So find me on Facebook. Leave me a comment. Tell me what you do, because I really need some practical pointers, books, you know, other podcasts, speakers on YouTube, whatever it is. Yeah, find me on Facebook, He Calls with Riley Lippincott, and let me know what you think. So if you are struggling with trust, just know you are not alone. I am also struggling. Oh, man, a lot to think about. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. You can go subscribe to it on iTunes. Go on breadboxmedia.com. The podcast is on there, and it's on my Facebook page, She Calls. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.